This is Eileen Buckley, WBFO's Focus on Education reporter. We're breaking format to bring you a live in-studio interview with newly named Buffalo School Superintendent Dr. Kreiner Cash. Cash, the former Memphis City school leader, began his post last week and has hit the ground running.
The Buffalo City Schools will be under construction.
Cash has already presided over his first city school board meeting. He's now conducting a media tour. Classes are set to begin for city school students tomorrow. Well, Dr. Cash, welcome to our WBFO studios and our NPR station here in Buffalo. It's a pleasure to have you in studio on your media tour, and we understand you're kicking it off in broadcasting with us today. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Eileen.
Dr. Cash, you said so far that you plan to stay for those 4 years of your contract. Now, how do you intend to quickly roll out all the needed changes to help this broken school district and not have any interference with the school board to get the job done?
Well, you have to do what I call make haste slowly. So you have to have a sense of urgency, and you have to get a lot of the important work out early. But you have to do it right as well. So the slowly part comes when you're thoughtful. You make sure that it's research-based, proven practice-based, the initiatives that you take on and that you emerge for the school district. So that takes time, but I don't go slow. We have to go fast, and we have to go correctly for these children. Each moment we waste, they lose time. We lose a generation of quality schooling for these young people. So I'm going to do a lot, and I'm going to do a lot quickly.
Given the dysfunction of the school board in the past, how do you do that?
Well, I've been meeting with each school board member. I've been meeting with a lot of influential members of the community, explaining my approach, talking about my style, getting them to know me and understand that I'm serious about this work for children and families, and they've accepted that. So I don't see dysfunction. I see working together. I see the board as a whole, and that's how I intend to work.
Now, the city school district has been working to increase attendance, but what needs to change with this effort to increase the attendant numbers? What can you do differently? You've mentioned that you want to really step that up to make change. How do you do that?
Well, there's nothing magical about it. You have to get into the community. You have to keep the message in front of folks all the time. You have to practice what you preach. So if we want kids to attend school and be at school on the first day, then I expect staff to be at school on the first day and throughout the year. I expect attendance that is prompt, that is professional, and that is throughout the year for children from all of our employees and from all of our students, and that the parents emphasize this at home.
How will you work to find out what is keeping parents from preventing them to send their child to school? How will you work to find that out? What some of the key factors are that are happening in family lives? We've done a lot of student voice programs where we found out that the home life conditions are very difficult, and you know that's part of the problem.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to. I've always taken a larger view of it. Many of our families and ancestors came from poverty and had to walk miles to school and through difficult conditions to do it both ways. And their attendance was very high because they were told and it was non-negotiable that you had to go to school and learn all you can. So poverty in and of itself, difficult conditions in and of themselves, should not be impediments to going to school. School is a privilege. It's a wonderful right in our great democracy. And I expect us to continue to emphasize and encourage it. But I'm talking about attendance for everybody. And I expect everyone to have full attendance this year. No sick outs, no taking time off, and all of that kind of stuff that goes on that hurts and harms children. So if children are at school, then I expect their teachers and their administrators and all employees to be at school as well.
Proficiency rates, you want to boost them to at least 80%. How is that possible?
Well, everything's possible when, again, you set the expectation high. You won't get there in 1 year, but you can get there when all of the systems are working efficiently and effectively. You haven't had efficient and effective systems for a long, long time. It's not just the student achievement part and just the students and family. We're talking about every aspect of the system. So that has to be, that's when I talk about reboot and under construction, making sure that where there are no plans, we get plans in place to succeed for our children.
And some of that you talk about creating more academic programs and more choices for families. What would that involve?
What would that what?
What would that involve in, as far as creating more academic programs and choices? What do you mean by maybe choices for more families when you talk about boosting the academics for students?
Well, when we look out on America today in 2015, there are so many more options and delivery models for the content of instruction, the content of curriculum, than existed, say, 50 years ago or even 10 years ago. So with technology, we can develop virtual schools now. You don't have to be in a seat in order, in a brick building in order to learn. Today, with all of the emerging industries, you don't have to sit in a sort of lockstep curriculum pathway in order to get excited and energized about coming to school anymore. You can have a career-themed academy, and they can be within a high school and in different concentrations. So students could be studying criminal justice system and law enforcement in one part of the concentration area. They could be looking at logistics and distribution systems in another part, biotechnology, solar energy, Medtronics, pharmaceuticals, all of these are things that are happening in our community now. Let's turn what used to be voc ed into STEAM and new technology kinds of vocational, occupational technology programs. So there's a lot of options that we haven't taken and thought about here in Buffalo for a long time. And I just want to bring some of those bold, innovative ideas to play so that I can get children interested in school, get them back into and feeling good about coming to school again, happy about it, and excited for their futures. Right now, a lot of these are dropout factories, some of these high schools. Kids are not engaged. And they're coming to school looking like they don't care or are engaged. I want to change all of that culture and all of that affect.
And that, of course, leads to graduation rates. How do you focus in and change those where other superintendents have had little success?
Well, it's all related. Everything I'm saying is interconnected, starting from preschool all the way through graduation. The graduation rate starts in preschool. I want to turbo boost the quality of preschool programs that exist in our community. I want every child between the ages of 0 to 4 years old to have enriched experiences. And we have people who are ready to step forward to help with that. But there are also a lot of good preschools in many of our schools already. But the vocabulary and the literacy has to be radically improved, up to 5,000, 6,000 words to begin kindergarten and first grade, for example. That's what I'm trying to boost. And we will. With teachers focused on this, we can boost literacy pretty quickly. But it just has to be an all-out comprehensive effort.
Dr. Cash, you had boldly stated that you'll be reviewing principals and that you want the best leadership at those schools, at all the schools. What will be part of that process as you review the performances?
Well, most people know who the best principals are. Students and families know who the best teachers are in a school. Good educators have a reputation. Now we have to make that more into a science rather than sort of a subjective view of it. We have to measure it better, and we have to be able to make sure that every child has a great teacher in every subject, every day, in every class throughout the year. That's a lofty goal. We talk about it a lot of times, but it obviously isn't the case when we have such scores that continue to dip in some schools, and where we're not getting a year of instruction advance or a year of growth for a year of instruction. And so we have to look at that as we begin to negotiate the new contract and work with teachers and parents as we go forward. So I'm confident that we can do this. But again, it has to be everybody understanding why we're doing what we're doing. I don't do things just to do them. That's called activity. What I'm looking for now is productivity, where everything we do is strategic and is proven, and there's good research basis to say that it helps children advance their achievement significantly.
What I understand, too, is you've already been out at some of the schools speaking to the principals and meeting with staffers.
Yes.
How has that gone so far?
And it's going great.
What are they telling you? What do they need?
Well, their reception has been wonderful. Their applause, their face, their affect, their being re-energized about the leadership and that, hey, we have somebody here who's going to support us and help us be able to do what we went into the profession to do, which is to teach and try to clear away the bramble so that we can, in fact, do that and not be constricted in all of that. So I'm getting good feedback from principals so far, and I think they're the most important position when you talk about the unit of analysis being schools. So in schools, principals can make a big difference in turning and advancing that school. Superintendents are important, their leadership at the district level. Teachers are critical at the leadership level of the classroom. So every level we're looking to build quality leadership for those different units of analysis.
Dr. Cash, 25 schools are under receivership. They're struggling and persistently struggling schools. Community engagement teams are working on plans at these schools right now. They come back to you. How will you put those in process? What will be the best format for you to move forward on this receivership model? And what have you looked at nationwide that's worked?
Well, that's virtually half your school system. This is a new approach here in New York. It's not new across the country. And what you have to do is look at all of the areas where the receiver has enhanced authority. There are about 16 areas that the receiver has enhanced authority that he or she wouldn't ordinarily have given the conditions of a contract agreement. And so we're going to look at all of those and negotiate all of those and seek approval from the commissioner in all of those areas. There is no single bullet to that. The bottom line is simple. When students have the best teachers available and when they have extra time and support to learn and catch up in the things that they're behind in and move toward mastery in the skill areas that they need mastery on, then they can make gains. So we look more for growth in these receivership models than we do pure achievement levels, because that takes time. But there's a lot of good basis for us to put some strategies into play that will move these schools from where they are now.
How do you go head-to-head with the Buffalo Teachers Union and leader Phil Remore? I understand you've started some talks with him already.
Oh, yeah. It's the same approach I use with everyone. You sit down, you talk, you're courteous, you're civil, you're diplomatic, but you're clear and you're forceful on what you know to be best for children and what can even be helpful for teachers. If we talk about the areas, show data to support what you're talking about, and hopefully change mindsets, change culture here that will catch up to the 21st century.
The reason I ask that, too, is with the receivership model, the way it's processed, that it sounds like you can overstep some of the union contract rules. Do you expect to see lawsuits?
Well, I don't expect to get tied down in them, but if they are, then that's the way it will go. A lot of these questions sound like there's already sort of a pre-feel for how it is here in Buffalo. It's sort of this is good luck. This is how it's going to be. I don't see it that way. I see this as a new time, a new era. It's an opportunity and a window for Buffalo right now. If Buffalo as a community and as a whole, all the elements in it, the union culture is one element in that in that, then we'll win if everybody supports. But if it doesn't want to change right now, change is hard for people, then Buffalo would be where it has always been. But I think that that they'd want to see change here. And I think you're ready to, as a region, this can be one of the most powerful economic regions in the whole world. This Buffalo, Rochester, Toronto economic engine that exists here is on the growth. It's going up, and Buffalo can be the epicenter for all of that.
We're almost out of time, but I want to get to one more question. When you appeared publicly at the event at the Buffalo Performing Arts School, you had stated that if selected as the superintendent, you would contact Mary Wilson, the widow of Ralph Wilson, to learn if there is funding through the Wilson Foundation for school funding. Will you really make that request? Will you be able to do that and at least find out if there's a possibility of funding?
Absolutely. That's on track. Met with, powerful local impact brokers last night for dinner, and they've pledged their support to help me do that and to continue to do this work. So that is on track, and it will be shortly after school starts that I'll be making that contact.
So you've already hit the ground running meeting with community stakeholders. I'm sure you feel the need to ask them to support this big effort you have.
I have.
What will it be like for you tomorrow, the first day of school as the new leader?
Oh, I have goosebumps already. It's always two favorite times in the year for me, the beginning of school and graduation. Those are the bookends, if you will. It's so exciting. And to see all the teachers that are happy and excited and love and care for the children, and then see the children and their energy and their hope and coming in to say, you know, help me, teach me. I want to please you. I want to have a great year. So that's the spirit of it. I'm looking forward to it. And I will be out and about in the schools bright and early tomorrow morning.
Dr. Kreiner Cash, thank you so much for coming into our studios and offering us some time to talk to you live on the air on WBFO. Good luck.
Thank you, Eileen.